A wealthy businessman takes charge of an established political party in order to position himself for a tilt at his country's presidency. What could possibly go wrong? South Africans are, as of this week, nearly certain as to the identity of their next president. Delegates at the annual conclave of South Africa's ruling party, the African National Congress, chose as their next party leader Cyril Ramaphosa.
We declare Comrade Cyril Ramaphosa as the new president of the African National Congress.
Mr. Ramaphosa, who is 65, has served since 2014 as South Africa's deputy president under President Jacob Zuma, who is due to stand down. So, barring miracle or mishap, Cyril Ramaphosa will be elected the fifth president of post-apartheid South Africa at the next election due in 2019.
We ourselves must also acknowledge that our ability to overcome these challenges has been undermined over the last decade by the failure of leadership and misguided priorities.
Though the world is full of politicians who would like to be able to serenely regard the prospect of their elevation as such an inevitability, many of the challenges President Ramaphosa will face are a product of this very certainty. South Africa is that most vexing of paradoxes, a democratic one-party state, which is to say that while the country has open elections, South Africans keep returning the same party. And as the ANC's long rule has demonstrated, the one party in a one-party state grows no less corrupt, complacent, and incompetent for being freely elected. The scale of the problem is illustrated both by the narrowness of Ramaphosa's victory. He won 2,440 delegate votes to 2,261 for his opponent, and by the identity of that rival. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is an ex-wife of President Jacob Zuma and was Zuma's choice as his successor. While it's always heartwarming to see former couples getting on, suspicions lurked that Zuma hoped that Dlamini Zuma might take a relaxed view of the barely countable corruption charges which threatened to disrupt his retirement. It was also feared, more generally, that Dlamini Zuma planned to implement certain of the abrupt and vindictive redistributive measures which have been such an outstanding success in Zimbabwe.
The whole issue of transparency, openness, which all of you know is a key hallmark of how we do things in the African National Congress.
Ramaphosa is, judging on form, the sensible choice. The rand lurched 4% upwards in the wake of his win, and it may also mean that South Africa avoids being downgraded to junk status by ratings agencies, which would badly staunch foreign investment. Ramaphosa will, hopefully, understand better than most how absurd it is that South Africa finds itself in this parlous position. There is nothing but a recent history of bad governance preventing it from becoming a prosperous and orderly country. The question is whether President Presumptive Ramaphosa can serve as the necessary corrective. Ramaphosa has done unquestionably well for himself, regularly estimated to be one of South Africa's richest people, but trumpeting one's business acumen as a qualification for national leadership is perhaps not as convincing as it might once have been, what with one thing and another, and many might assume that a man who has combined the accumulation of a fortune with high public office is likelier to be part of the problem than the solution. Ramaphosa can, however, boast a political CV which stands serious scrutiny. He was detained for anti-apartheid activities in the 1970s, led the National Union of Mine Workers in the 1980s, and became General Secretary of the ANC in the 1990s. Critics, however, point to a notorious moment where his business and politics overlapped, or perhaps collided, in 2012, when South African police shot 34 striking miners dead at Marikana. Ramaphosa sat on the board of the company which owned the mine. As for Ramaphosa's next step, much depends on the incumbent. President Zuma may decide to run out the clock as far as possible, holding out for some sort of immunity from prosecution. Ramaphosa might, if he thinks he has the numbers among the ANC, attempt to recall Zuma, possibly within the next few weeks.
For the first time, we had seven comrades availing themselves for the presidency and campaigning openly. which yet again proved the internal democracy within the ANC.
Little of what is about to happen is likely to be especially dignified, and any consequent impatience with the ANC may ultimately be good for South Africa. Because what the ANC most needs is the last thing it wants, a plausible opposition. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Miller.